Thanks. Morning, everyone. I think, like Neville has said, it's pretty cool that as a church we share our testimonies, and I've never seen it done quite as special the way as Rosedale does. I've had more testimonies in the last year than I had in 38 years, and the Bible calls for us to testify, so that's really cool. It calls in many places, but one of my favorites is Psalm 66:16, which is, "Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." So with that, I'd like to just say a quick little prayer quickly for myself and Anna, and we're going to go. So Lord, we pray you use our words to point to Christ, and that the testimonies we share builds up other Christians and equips us to share our testimonies more as a family. Over to you, Anna.
Kia ora, everyone. I'm going to get straight into when I heard about the Bible and Jesus. So my first time hearing about the Bible and God's word was at Richmond Primary School when I was roughly 8 years old in Christchurch. I remember Easter was more than bunnies, the Christian teacher sang music with his guitar and doing fun activities that were about Jesus. One day he stopped coming and I realized his program was no longer a part of our curriculum. My second memory was hearing about the Bible was church camp. My mum was invited to a church camp by her friend, and because my mum likes keeping me busy, she thought it would be a good idea to go. An opportunity to socialise with other young children, as I'm an only child. A vivid memory of the church office where mum and I slept together overnight. Mum hanging the washing up early hours of the morning and the sun beaming. And a race. Two people would race to a balloon, pop the balloon, and inside was a piece of paper with the Bible verse. The first person to open the Bible and read the verse out wins. When I was 11 through to 15 years old, I would get sporadic invites from my friends that attend various churches. My mum was thrilled, and I went to these youth groups. It was probably around this age when I realised that both mum and Nana didn't attend church. My brain at this age was trying to process that Nana wasn't open to attending church for herself or believing Jesus is our salvation. Mum believed in something, but there would be UFOs or aliens and the supernatural. And this left me puzzled about what exactly to believe. Because my family were happy I went to youth groups randomly, but didn't believe in what the Bible says. I remember being around 15 years old and thinking, gosh, going to church is accepted for myself, but my family don't go. I'm not fully connected then, somehow. How do I fix this? So I had this great idea. My mum once said to me that my father, who I've never met before, was Muslim. So I thought, I'll try and feel connected spiritually somehow by finding the Quran. Off I went to all the bookshops quietly. Wick calls, paper plus, and then I got bored and hungry because I couldn't find what I was looking for. And I was such an introvert, I would never dare ask for help. So I decided to go home, praise the Lord. Fast forward 4 years later, I have just turned 19 years old and I met this good-looking, confident man named Ravin. Ravin. 1 month later, I found out that his name is actually Robin. Makes for a good story 15 years later. Don't ask. I get invited to the church by Robin's family for most Sundays that follow. I attend church, I listen, it sounds good, and to be honest, there was no light bulb moment to my Christian journey just yet. But the seed was there and it was growing. Mum, Nana, and my late uncle all approved of Robin. They like that I go to church. They don't feel the need to go to church or believe, which I find more weird with every moment that I think about it. But life is great. I head to Oamaru with my family, Mum, Nana, and Robin, to see my auntie and uncle that live in Oamaru. My auntie and uncle attend the local church there sometimes. So we went as a family on Sunday with Mum, Nana, auntie, uncle, and Robin. I feel connected. And with very little understanding of how to quote scripture or extend on the meaning of one verse, yet alone the rest, I know in my heart it is time to get baptized. So I did. The next birthday would be exciting. I am now turning 20, and my side of the family will meet Robin's side of the family. It was pretty successful and a fun night. Fast forward to 2009, I have some nice memories. I get engaged in Queenstown. Nana can't believe she wasn't asked permission from Robin first. I'm having manual driving lessons for fun from Robin and my late uncle at the time. And weirdly, from the age of 16, I was always working. But I'm currently 20 years old at the time, and I remember just taking a break from work and being young, being at home, and being with Mum and Nana. It's 2009. My uncle goes missing. And to cut an incredibly sad story short, he took his life on our property. I went to Mum's work to pick her up. I broke the news to her. And I feel broken. Something that would mold me as an individual for life. And when my eyes are wide open to the world we live in. Out of desperation, I say to my mum, please do not do what my uncle did, ever. She said, okay. Everything that flows on from this moment is me watching the world in which I live in. No dad, no uncle. And I can see now more than ever how dysfunctional my family is. And with every encounter I have with others moving forward, seem to be unhappy ones, one way or another. I am deeply sad by what I don't have in life, but I am far more happier with Jesus as my salvation. This also makes me feel guilty that I have Jesus and the ones that raised me, Mum and Nana, don't have Christ in their lives. One thing that brings me comfort is, no matter what you are experiencing in life, happy or sad, praise our Almighty Lord, God, for he alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is good. Luke 18, verse 19. Would anyone be kind enough to read this verse, please? Luke 18, verse 19. Thank you. Amen. It is not my plan, it is his. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Would anyone be kind enough to read this verse for us, please? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Amen. Thank you. I'd like to take this time to thank Rosedale Bible Church for the opportunity and to the Winders family for providing a safe place to discuss God's word every fortnight. I have to say, for anyone that knows me well, to stand in front of a large audience and share my story, the answer would be a firm no. However, I'm doing this for Jesus. If Jesus can die on the cross the way he did, I can share a piece of my life story that, God willing, will soften someone's heart for Christ. Let's think of ways we can do more for Jesus. Thank you.
I guess my testimony is just going to be following my journey to Christ and where I'm at now. So there'll be lots of gaps and things. I'm kind of like, I don't mind doing presentations, but I enjoy presenting or talking to people more interactively. So if you've got any questions, throw your hands up and go, why do you think that, or why do you say that? Because, yeah, I like talking, apparently. So, born into a Christian home, baptized, christened, Catholic, if you could call that Christian. At the age of about six, we moved to the Anglican Church, Church of God. where I got confirmed. So confirmation is at around the age of between 8 and 12. You go every Friday for an hour and a half over 2 years to learn the scriptures, talk about Jesus with the priest or pastor. And after that point, he says, yep, you can get confirmed. When you get confirmed, then you can receive Holy Communion. So I did all that. And yeah, I went to church every Sunday. So if that's the definition of growing up in a Christian home, then yeah, that's what happened. But I feel like I only started having a relationship with the Lord at the age of 21. And that's when I sort of started talking to Jesus, praying, and learning that it's not what I've done or could ever do, but only Jesus. So, for example, I took a lot of pride in going to church. I remember I was about 22 years old, and I went to every Sunday church for that whole year. And I remember after that year thinking, gosh, I'm good. I went to every service. And I was in the choir, would go every Wednesday. And I thought, if I'm good, God will be good to me. If I'm bad, God will. So, and I guess Luke 18, verses 11 to 12 pops to mind. Could someone read that for us, please, quickly? Luke 18, 11 to 12. Barry made mention to it. It's about the Pharisees and the tax collector. Luke 18, verses 11 and 12, please. So yeah, I was that Pharisee, and it opened my eyes to realize that, and I guess that's what other denominations called works righteousness. We know that nothing we can do saves us but the work of God and the blood that Jesus shed for us. Around that time, conversations with the Lord became two-way. So for me, growing up was, I pray to the Lord, I ask him for stuff, I be good, and he gives it to me. But as with any other relationship you have with someone, a conversation is two-way. So I was talking at Jesus, not having a conversation. So that's when I realized that if I'm going to have a conversation with Jesus, I'll talk to him, but he talks to me. And he talks to me through his word and the scripture. So, yeah, trying to read the Bible more. Still don't do it enough. I talk to Jesus two or three times a week, but I'm working on that in terms of him speaking to me. So I speak to him two or three times a day. I let him speak to me twice a week, which doesn't seem fair at all, but I need to work on that. So pray for me. Mia Tenereta, got married, and that's when a lot more questions started and more in depth, I guess, talking about why we do stuff. So more traditional stuff. So growing up in a Catholic, Anglican home and church, walking into church, holy water. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it in the movies, but there's holy water before you walk in. You put a cross on your head, and before you say any prayers or talk to Jesus, you do the sign of the cross, all that sort of stuff. Asking, where does that come from? Because I don't see it in the scripture. So that was quite an interesting journey to try and learn all those. And so what I found was traditions within the church aren't inherently wrong. However, most denominations get it wrong because all you need for a denomination to go from Christ-like to apostate is time and man. And we'll fill all the rest in. So that's when I sort of learned the concept of sola scriptura. And that's where you put scripture first, God's word, God's nature, God's character. First and final authority, really. So, yeah, that's where that came into play. As part of that, don't believe anything I say. Don't believe anyone, any man says to you. Check everything with scripture. You hear it, check it. It's also quite handy if you're letting God talk to you frequently, there's a level of discernment that grows within you. So I remember one profound occasion I had a Christian friend who was going through some marital problems, and his wife said to him she had a dream, and in that dream God told her that he's not the right man for her and they should get divorced. My response to that was, where's that in scripture? Because we know there's good and evil, and when you hear those little voices in you, how do you know it's from God and not from the evil one? Read scripture. And if it contradicts anything in you, it's not God talking to you. Next phase, next chapter in our life, Isaiah was born. So he came along, and then we start thinking about what negative influences do we have in our life? What would negatively influence him to grow as a Christian? And that's things like secular music, movies you're watching, things you're talking about. So by the time Bella and Eva came along, all they could hear in the car was, "Our God reigns. Our God's an awesome God." So yeah, sorry, not sorry. And that gets us to Winton. So we moved down south 3 years ago, moved to Winton. Was tough finding a church, did a lot of homework before we got here. And we had things that were important to us to find a church. And one of the very important ones was having our kids fed. We started worshiping at Salvation Army in Winton. Small church, very community driven. So 20 to 25 people every Sunday. Five of them were the Davidses, so not very big at all. But one thing that was happening was our kids were getting fed. They're very children-focused and about children's programs and teaching the Bible. I knew they weren't very sound in Bible doctrine and sola scriptura doesn't have a place there and all that sort of stuff, but my kids were getting fed. However, we had a change in pastors just on a year ago now, and the new pastor that came in for the first 2 or 3 weeks was really good. But then she preached on God's rules, and that God doesn't worry about the rules, God just loves us. And I don't know, it just struck a chord with me. It's like, it's not God's rules, let's call it what it is, it's God's law. And God's law matters that much to him that he put himself on a cross for us. Because the wages of sin is death. And so he put himself on there for us. So I just, yeah, we couldn't have our kids listening to that. So yeah, God sent us on a journey, and there was 3 or 4 churches in Invercargill that we researched, and I went to the homepage of Rosedale, and it was tick, 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 tick. I was like, wow, how did I not see this place at first? So the Lord sent us here that Sunday, and it's been home ever since. So we thank him, and we thank you guys. And that's me. Any questions? Yes. Yes. Okay, so I was born in Bulawayo, Matabeleland, Zimbabwe, formerly known as Rhodesia. So I left there when I was 21. That's when I moved to New Zealand. That's when those big questions started coming. Yeah. Very similar lifestyle to New Zealand. So it was a colonial as Rhodesia, so everything was the same. So it was quite easy assimilating to New Zealand, culturally wise. The biggest difference, and might be oversharing, but you walk in a mall in Zimbabwe and it's spot the white person. You arrive in Christchurch, New Zealand 20 years ago and it's spot the black person. So that was pretty much the extent of it. So, yeah. Anything else? Inflation. Everyone's talking about inflation these days. So Zimbabwe has the record of the highest inflation ever in the civilized world. I think it was 5,002%. At one point. So it got to the point where a Zimbabwean dollar rose that. So you got paid this week. Next week you tried to buy bread with that money. It was worthless. So they were literally using Zimbabwe currency as toilet paper because toilet paper costs more than the currency. So I've got a banknote of 25 trillion Zimbabwean dollars with me. That's nothing. So yeah. So that was just economically declined because that started with Robert Mugabe, who kicked off the white farmers off their lands to give them to the black people, which was just a power. It was a political football. He didn't actually give the land to black farmers. He just gave them to his friends, and they just said, "Oh, that's my land," and just left it. As we all know, history repeats itself, and we should learn from history. Farmers are crucial to any economy. And so when all the farmers left, every other country benefits from it because a lot of our farmers went everywhere else and Zimbabwe just tanked. That happened in 2001. There was a big exodus. Half of my, I say immediate family, but that's my father's brothers and sisters and my mother's brothers and sisters left in 2000, between 2001 and 2002. New Zealand, Australia, Canada pretty much said, "Hey, jump on a plane and you can stay here." My dad had his own business. My mom was an accountant. We had built a life, and we were like, "Well, let's wait and see if it changes." By 2004, nothing had changed, and Mugabe had won another election, and that's when they're like, yep, we're out. So sold the business, sold the home, everything we owned, suitcase, and about, I think it was 6,000 New Zealand dollars, and arrived in Christchurch, and thankful that we ever did it, ever since. Anything else? Thanks, guys.
That took a lot of courage. Thank you very much. Really, really deeply appreciate sharing. We feel so much more connected, understanding the story and what God's doing in your life. So really, really appreciate that. Not just saying nice words, really appreciate that a lot. And that's one of the reasons why, deliberately, we want to hear story. And as an eldership, that's one of the reasons why we take some time as a church family to hear stories, because they are life-changing. That's God working in people's lives. And you shared stories with each other at different levels this morning already, but those stories are just so valuable, just so important. And when God intersects with us in our lives and we bring him into our lives, the story just grows. And what you're now doing with your family, and we want to support you in allowing your family to flourish and grow and develop in every which way that they're capable of. That's our determination as well. So I just want to pray for you both, especially as a family. Father, today we've just been delighted to hear the stories, the past and the now in both Anna and Robin's life. And we just acknowledge all your goodness. Thank you for the truth that you bring into our lives. Thank you for the reality of a relationship with you. Thank you for the security of what you call us into. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run to it, and they are very safe. So we thank you for what we've heard today. Pray a blessing into their lives, into the lives of each of their children. We just ask that you'll guard them and keep them and show them your reality and your truth through your spirit. We pray for that. And again, thank you for all that you are doing in our midst. For those of us who shared stories with each other this morning, we pray for the people that you bring into our minds, and we want to bring them to you because they're precious to you. You died for them as well. And so I pray for Terry that I had a conversation with. I pray for Adam that I had a conversation with, that you will continue to do a work in their life through your spirit and bring them to you, to yourself, and to your truth. So we acknowledge all that you are doing in our midst, in our society, and in and through your people that you have called out of darkness and into your wonderful light. Thank you for each other, and thank you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.